Lord, we pray because you have told us to pray. It is a privilege to pray. Teach us how to pray better. And so now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, as we consider the truth of Jesus' words, your son's words. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, this is about prayer. Prayer cannot be underestimated. Prayer is what the Christian does. If you do not pray, you are not a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you will pray. If you are not a Christian and you don't pray, you can become a Christian so you can learn how to pray. In our text for this morning from John chapter 16, Jesus gives us some very foundational understandings of prayer that will help us in our prayer life. And when we look at all of Scripture, the Bible gives us three reasons to pray. Number one, there is the command of God. And you know about the commands of God. You shall have no other gods. Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit adultery, and so on. And what these mean is that we are not to go to the local mosque to worship. We are not to hate our parents. We are to be faithful to our husband and wife, and so forth and so forth. And if you have done any of these things, you need to repent, which of course includes all of us, for in one way or another, we all sin daily. And you also know the second commandment, which deals with prayer. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Which means, according to the Small Catechism, we should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, practice witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And just not on Sundays, not just at meals, not just once a day, but without ceasing, the Bible says. And what that means is that we are to be ready at a moment's notice to pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, help me. Lord, help them. Lord, forgive me. So how do you do? How do I do? There are times when a prayer to God is the last thing I think about. I'm writing a sermon, I'm studying God's word, I'm struggling with a text, and all of a sudden it hits me. I have not prayed as I should have. Now some of you may be thinking, is that what happened to your sermon last Sunday, Pastor? Maybe. Or maybe there has been some great difficulty, even a tragedy, an injustice, an argument. And when those occur, what is often and sometimes the only reaction? We whine, we complain, we say, woe is me, we criticize others, rather than instantly and first and foremost obey the command of God and pray. So we have the command of God to pray. And this brings us to the second and rather obvious reason we are to pray, because we have need, many needs, great needs. Call upon me in the day of trouble, God says in Psalm 50. The book of Psalms is a book of prayer, in which we sometimes see the psalmist saying, wow, life is good, Lord, I thank you. But many times, most of the time, the psalmists are saying, life is rough. And they pour out their hearts to God. They let him know and they ask him to deliver them. Or they confess their lives are full of sin and ask for forgiveness. Every day is a day of need. Did you sin today? Do you have troubles? Are you depressed? Do you have conflicts in marriage or with your children, at work, with friends, at school? Probably less conflicts at school these days. Are you anxious or worried about what might happen because of these strange times? Whether you or your loved ones will contract the virus, the isolation you have been forced into, your frustration with our government, and the unfair limitations placed upon you and your congregation. Your financial status, your future, your economic well-being, and the economic well-being of our state and our country. Call upon me in a day of trouble. In the day of trouble. And so we pray because we all have needs. And that brings us to the third reason we are to pray, the promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Or as Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Or as he says in our text, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is the promise of God. This is the promise of Jesus, his son. God does not lie. Let's spend some time on that one word, whatever. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatever here does not mean whatever, without limitations. It's a qualified whatever. Jesus is directing this promise to the new man within us. Not the sinful nature, but the new man made in the image of Christ that has a Christian mind, a Christian mindset. And the new man within the Christian is a Christian mind that does not say, give me this or that to satisfy my sinful greed and indulgence and selfishness. The Christian mindset does not say, give me this or that, even though it means another person will be deprived. The Christian mind of the new man does not say, give me this or that, even if down the road it will be bad for me and I will be led away from Christ. The Christian mindset does not say, give me this or that, even if in your great wisdom you know something else would be better for me. In other words, unless we are praying for something other than what God in his word has clearly told us he definitely will give us, namely forgiveness, life, and salvation, the Christian mind will always qualify such prayers by saying, I ask this of you, Lord, but what I want above all else is that your will would be done, not mine. For example, Lord, I have this disease. I have this affliction. I am downright depressed. There are real problems with my wife, my child, my father. Please deliver me. Please take it away if it be your will. For I know and believe that in your great wisdom and mercy, you not only hear my prayer, but will answer it in a way that I may not understand right now, but ultimately is for my good. So, when we call upon God in times of trouble, he will answer us and deliver us. And the answer may be obvious. We may be given the precise answer we hoped for, but it will not always be that answer we hoped for and prayed for. For God always has the bigger picture in mind. He is always working on our eternal well-being, his eternal deliverance for you and me. Remember St. Paul, who asked for deliverance from that thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. We don't know. And God said to him, Paul, I want you to learn that this thorn in the flesh, this affliction, is designed to teach you that my grace is sufficient for you. So God always hears. He always answers, and he answers in the best way possible. Even if it does not make sense to us at the time with our very limited human way of thinking. This is especially true in our present times when life could easily become much worse. Either because COVID-19 somehow becomes more deadly, or because we have to struggle with and even resist unjust and unfair government restrictions that forbid Christians to gather together as God commands, even though we would do so with complete safety here. But in the midst of all the trials and afflictions and hardships of life, we have the promise of God, that he hears and he answers, and he does so in a way that in all things he works for the good of those who love him. So, we pray because he commands us to. We pray because we have needs, great needs, temporal and spiritual. We pray because of his promise that he will hear and answer us. And that brings us to another extremely important question, the answer to which is very comforting. Why does the Almighty and all-knowing God answer us at all, especially in view of our miserable failures? Why? Our text says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God answers prayer because we ask in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. I don't ask in my own name. I do not ask God in the name of Mary, his mother, or in the name of some other saint. I do not ask because of who I am or what I have done, or who they are or what they have done. The same with you. You are not to come in your own name because, just like me, you are a sinner. If you would try to come in your own name, God would say, who are you? What have you done? What makes your name so great? What can you show me that will impress me? Make me have a high regard towards you and want to listen to you and say yes to your requests. No, we pray in the name of Jesus. Because to pray in the name of Jesus means to acknowledge who he is and what he has done. To come in his name means to acknowledge his redemptive and forgiving work in my behalf. So, if God were to ask you, in whose name do you dare to stand before me and make your requests? Your own name? You would say, no, Lord. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And God would say, ah, yes, you come to me in the name of my Son. Now there is a name that catches my attention. There is a man who impresses me. There is a man I cannot refuse or ignore. There is a man I must listen to and honor. For he did all things perfectly. A perfect life for you, dear sinner. A perfect death for you, dear sinner. And that explains why you don't look like a sinner at all to me. That explains why you are wearing a perfectly white, stainless robe. For it is not your robe you are wearing, but his. And this is absolutely wonderful. For when you come to me in his name, you come with faith in him. And that is really good. For it tells me you are cleansed. You are forgiven of all your sins because of him. In fact, because you come in his name, I remember your sins no more. So ask away. Ask anything you want. And I will hear and ask. You could say God has a totally different view of us than we do of ourselves. Because of Jesus, the sins we cannot forget, God does not remember. You and I have a better memory than God does when it comes to our sins. All because of Jesus. And we approach that God in that name. God uses prayer. It is his tool given to us. And you might say, but what if I forget to pray? We'll take comfort in the fact that the blood of Jesus covers those sins just as well as all the others. And if you are not sure what to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus has given us to pray, a prayer that covers all the bases. And there's a ton of other prayers out there that meet our needs as well, like the Psalms, along with the prayers of our hearts. And very importantly, and of great comfort, know this. Even when we forget to pray, or we pray poorly, there are two others that never stop praying for us. And their prayers are perfect prayers. And their prayers are always heard by God the Father. St. Paul wrote in Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And then a few verses later, Paul writes, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Whoa. The Holy Spirit and the Son are praying for us. You and I cannot fathom this unbelievable reality. Think about it. Wow. So, brothers and sisters, there's the command to pray. That's why we do it. There's the need to pray. That's why we do it. There's the promise of God that he answers, and that's why we do it. And he hears and answers when we pray because we approach him in the name of Jesus, who, because of who he is and what he did, and because we have taken hold of him by faith, we have become God's dear sons and daughters. To get a little personal here, I wish I had time to tell you all the prayers of mine that have been answered over the years, usually in ways I did not expect and often did not want. My prayer list is long. It includes all of you by name. It includes my mother and sisters, my wife, my children and grandchildren. It includes the needs of our congregation and those of my past congregations. It includes many friends and many who I have shared the gospel with over the years. I pray for our synod, our college, our seminary, the church at large, our state, our country, our governing authorities. And many times I see God answering those prayers. And I am anxious to see how he will answer the other prayers over time. And again, I do so because of the command of God, because of our great needs, and because of the promise that he will answer. And I can perform this great privilege to pray only and always because I come to God the Father in the name of Jesus. And so can you. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.